The official opening session on Monday. The upcoming NPC and CTPCC sessions dominate the news with an army of 3,000 journalists providing coverage. Iraq destroys 10 banned Al-Samam 2 missiles, reducing US leverage for a military strike. And Pakistan hands over a suspected mastermind of the September 11th terrorist attacks to US authorities. Hello and welcome to Worldwide Watch. I'm Lushing in Beijing. The Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, or CPPCC, held a preparatory meeting this afternoon. Members deliberated and passed the makeup of the proceeding for the first session of the 10th CPPCC National Committee, which opens on Monday. Our reporter Zhou Wei gives us a closer look.
Presided over by Li Weihuan, chairman of the 9th CPPCC National Committee, the preparatory meeting opened at the Great Hall of the People, one day before the first session of the 10th CPPCC. The members approved three agenda-related matters. First, the meeting deliberated and passed the names for the chairman, vice-chairman, and secretary-general positions for the presidium's meeting. Jia Qingling will chair the presidium's meeting, which will comprise 325 members. Second, the meeting passed a draft agenda for the first session of the 10th CPPCC National Committee. 8 items on the agenda are associated with concluding the 9th Committee's work reports and preparing for the work of the upcoming 10th Committee. Third, members adopted a name list for the first session's Proposals Examination Committee. This committee is charged with examining proposals submitted by committee members, setting up cases, and settling them. At the end of the meeting, Li Weihuan wished great success for the first session of the 10th CPPCC National Committee and best wishes for all members of the 10th Committee. There are more than 2,000 members from the 9th CPPCC who attended the preparatory meeting. After the meeting, the Presidium and Proposals Examination Committee held their first meeting. Zhou Wei, CCTV.
The first session of the 10th National Committee of the CPPCC, due to open in Beijing on March the 3rd, is significant as it will elect a new leadership. A session spokesman briefed a Sunday press conference on the major areas that delegates will focus on. He also introduced the election and composition of the delegates. Mao Shizhi examines what went on.
The first session of the 10th CPPCC is a session of re-election. It follows the 16th National Committee of the Communist Party of China, which laid out the objectives for building a well-off society and achieved a smooth transition of the leadership of the Party Central Committee. The spokesman says members will discuss major issues on China's economic and social development during the 11-day session. There are 10 broad categories, namely, implementation of active fiscal policy, employment and social security, reform of the management of state-owned assets, agricultural, rural and farmer issues, reform in the fiscal and financial area, creditworthiness, development of non-public economic sector and protection of private property, judicial fairness, allocation of resources, and educational reform. Other hot issues such as energy, redundant projects, and food security are also on the list. The spokesman says that in accordance with the constitution of the CPPCC, the participants decide the membership, and candidates of the current committee of the CPPCC have been decided by the standing committee of the previous session. This year, there are 2,238 members representing 34 sectors. Communist Party members account for 40%. There are 262 ethnic minority members. They come from all 55 of the country's ethnic minority groups and comprise 11.7% of the total delegates. Women members account for nearly 17%, more than 1% higher than the previous session. There are more members from non-public-owned economic sectors and other new social strata than before. The delegates' average age is 56 years old, 3 years younger than before.
Mao Xijun,
CCTV.
All deputies to the upcoming session of the 10th National People's Congress have arrived in Beijing. The 2,900 plus members come from virtually every corner of China and represent all sectors of society. As local tells us, they will discuss the development blueprint for the next 5 years and ushering a new leadership.
The moment they set foot in the capital, the NPC deputies became the focus of the media. But the deputies have more than enjoying the public spotlight on their mind. Apart from having their say on major national issues, they are expected to raise a wide array of proposals, mostly concerning the people they represent.
I'm from the rural grassroots. In the coming session, I will focus on how to conduct farm work within the principles of environmental protection. There I can meet the people to an all-around one of society.
I'm a deputy from a state-owned firm in my old industrial base. I have some suggestions for deepening the reform of such enterprises and fully developing the state-owned economy.
Notably, deputies from the Macau Special Administrative Region will attend for the first time since the region returned to China more than 3 years ago. The 12 deputies say that as the region becomes an integral part of the country, they will work hard to make heard the voices of all Macau compatriots. The first session of the 10th NPC is scheduled to open in Beijing on Wednesday. The first session of the First National People's Congress was held 1953. Liu Ge, CCTV.
The upcoming NPC and CPPCC sessions are starting to crack up a media frenzy in China. Over 3,000 journalists have registered to cover the sessions, more than one for every two official attendees. The two sessions are already beginning to dominate newspaper coverage and online news channels. Journalists say they're most interested in this year's sessions as an in-depth reform has been planned in administrative management and new country leadership is expected to be decided at the NPC session. The opening and closing ceremonies will be open to the press along with some panel discussions. The two-week-long sessions will also involve press conferences. Organizers have also prepared a booklet outlining conference venues and procedures to provide access to NPC deputies and CPPCC members. Still to come on this edition of Worldwide Watch, Iraq destroys 10 Al-Samanchi missiles, accusing U.S. leaders for a military strike. And Pakistan hands over a suspected mastermind of the September 11th terrorist attack to U.S. authorities.
The first session of the 10th National People's Congress will convene at 9 a.m. on the 5th of March 2003. Tune in to CCTV 9, which will bring you live coverage of the opening ceremony.
Turning to international news, Saturday saw Iraq destroy 10 Al-Samanchi missiles, under the eye of UN inspectors. The action complicates an American push to win international support to go to war against Baghdad for failing to disarm. Qi Jie has more details.
Iraq used the bulldozer to crash four of its Al-Samud missiles on Saturday in line with a deadline set by the United Nations to start destroying the banned rockets. Meanwhile, Iraq agreed to scrap about 100 of its most advanced surface-to-surface missiles, hoping to avert a U.S.-led invasion to disarm Baghdad of weapons of mass destruction, Washington says it possesses. Hiro Ueki, spokesman for the UN inspectors, told Reuters that the destruction of the missiles, components, and related systems began at Taji military base, some 40 kilometers north of Baghdad. He confirmed that four Al-Samud missiles had been destroyed. Dimitri Perakis, who heads the UN inspectors' team, said missile casting chambers were also destroyed at another site south of Baghdad. He also said that Iraq has around 100 Al-Samud II missiles, but will not say how many were deployed. UN weapons experts and Iraqi officials also agreed to a schedule to eliminate the banned weapons, but not on the deadline. In a further concession to avoid military action, an Iraqi biologist and missile expert went ahead with private interviews with the weapons inspectors on Friday night in the first private meetings in 3 weeks. So far, the Iraqi military has about 375,000 troops, including 6 regular Republican Guard divisions. Both the regular and special Republican Guard units are the best equipped and trained, ready for a possible U.S.-led invasion.
God willing, we will emerge victorious because evil has reached a level of tyranny. All I can say is they will be defeated.
The United States and Britain have massed thousands of troops in the Gulf for a possible invasion to al-Saddam, who they accuse of having weapons of mass destruction. CCTV.
In his weekly radio address to the nation, U.S. President George W. Bush kept up pressure on Iraq, threatening military action while promising a brighter future for the Iraqi people once Saddam Hussein has gone. Bush once again laid out the case for disarming Iraq and attempted to answer critics' questions regarding a possible war. Although the White House insists Bush has yet to make up his mind to disarm Iraq by force, the president is already laying out detailed plans for what would come after a U.S.-led invasion. The Bush administration is preparing to submit a supplemental spending request totaling as much as $95 billion for war with Iraq. The $95 billion would cover war, its aftermath, and new expenses to fight terrorism. The total could be as low as $60 billion because Pentagon budget planners don't know how long a conflict will last. George W. Bush's plan has created some turbulence on the world stock markets. U.S. stocks dropped sharply on Tuesday. European markets also ended lower. In Asia, the Hong Kong market experienced a 5-day consecutive downturn. And in Japan, the exchange rate for the yen against the U.S. dollar increased to its highest level in 6 months. Affected by the news, international oil prices began to show a little downswing after having soared in previous days. The U.S. ambassador in Ankara has responded to a Turkish parliamentary vote that prevents U.S. soldiers from using the country as a front in a possible war against Iraq. Robert Pearson said on Saturday that the U.S. still considers Turkey its friend. Wei Hong has the story.
Robert Pearson says the U.S. respects Turkey's democratic process and will await further information and advice from its government about how they should proceed.
That the United States, well, it would be clear to say that that we certainly had hoped for a favorable decision by the parliament, but I want to emphasize the continuity of our relationships and the importance of the work that we have done thus far and the fact that the United States is still a friend of Turkey, and we consider this relationship to be very important.
Saturday's vote was 264 to 215 in favor, with 19 abstentions. But the Speaker, Bulan Arınç, says that's far short of the simple majority required by the Constitution. Another vote is expected on Tuesday.
We're facing here a serious and important case. The Turkish Republic's future and security is the issue. There is no question mark that this is not an internal political issue. I don't think it is beneficial for Turkey.
The motion would have empowered the government to authorize the basing of up to 62,000 U.S. troops, 255 warplanes, and 65 helicopters. Washington had offered Turkey $15 billion U.S. dollars in loans and grants if it accepted a basing deal to ease the impact of any war on the Turkish economy. Wei Hong, CCTV.
Arab leaders have ended their 15th Arab summit, announcing a clear collective stand, no war on Iraq. But the summit was by no means a peaceful exchange of ideas. The United Arab Emirates made an appeal for Iraqi President Saddam Hussein to step down to avoid a war. The first time an Arab state has done so. David Mason has more details.
The gathering of Arab leaders in Egypt ended with a statement announcing the failure of American efforts in lobbying the region for support for military action. The statement, hailed by Iraq, delivered a clear message of opposition to war.
We confirm our opposition to attacking Iraq or any other Arab state, which we consider as a threat to Arab security, and we call for solving the Iraqi issue through peaceful means.
We make an appeal for more time to be given to UN inspectors to fulfill their mission objectively. They also agreed that their countries would not participate in any war, despite the fact that countries like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar and Bahrain host US forces and may be used as launch pads for a US-led attack on Iraq. Talking about the Gulf region, few can avoid mentioning oil. At the summit, Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi pointed out that petrol was the real interest of the United States. He also criticized Saudi Arabia for hosting U.S. forces. Walking out of the conference room, the United Arab Emirates delegates seem to have lost all hope of resolving the issue, saying that refusing or even discussing it had lost the last hope of an Arab solution to the Iraqi crisis. Debbie Mason, CCTV.
Khalid Shaikh Mohammed, a suspected mastermind of the September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001, has been handed over to U.S. authorities. He was taken out of Pakistan after being interrogated. Cheng Yi has more details.
Khalid Shaikh Mohammed was arrested along with two other men in a joint raid by Pakistani and CIA agents early on Saturday in the central Pakistani city of Rawalpindi. One of the men is a Pakistani identified as Ahmed Abdul Zadus, a 42-year-old member of one of the country's main religious parties, while the other is an unidentified man of Middle Eastern origin. A senior Pakistani official confirmed on Sunday that Mohammed had been taken to an unidentified location outside the country and that the arrest of the third man was also important. According to White House spokesman Errol Fleischer, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is one of Osama bin Laden's most senior and significant lieutenants, a key al-Qaeda planner and a mastermind of the September 11th terrorist attacks on the U.S. Mohammed was among 22 top al-Qaeda members on the FBI's most wanted list. He has been under U.S. indictment since 1996 for the Manila Air Conspiracy, a plot to bomb a series of U.S. civilian airplanes. Tony, CCTV.
Cuban President Fidel Castro has met with Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi during his visit to Tokyo. This is Castro's second trip to Tokyo since 1995. Castro flew to Tokyo on the heels of a trip to Malaysia, where he attended the Non-Aligned Movement Summit. During the tour, Castro invited some Japanese companies to enter the Cuban market and help revive the nation's economy. Castro is scheduled to visit Hiroshima on Monday and tour the atomic bomb dome and other sites. Coming up after a short break, in a fish tale with a twist, eight young women take the plunge to become lucky mermaids. And it's Samba Tolu Drop at the Carnival in Rio de Janeiro.
What color do you see in your eyes? Is it gray, blue, or even red? You may see only one side of the story. CCTV 9 shows you the real China, revealing the whole spectrum of this fascinating country. CCTV 9, your first window on China.
China, 8 young women are excited about the prospects of being lucky mermaids at an event held by the Beijing Aquarium. The mermaids were selected out of 50 contestants. The winners will perform for the public on March the 8th. Joey has a look at life in the fishbowl.
These young women were chosen from 50 contestants in the Lucky Mermaid Diving Adventure held by Beijing Aquarium. According to staff members, the competition was open to women between the ages of 20 and 35 who have a passion for diving. These young women have all passed swimming tests and are now being taught how to dive. They are working on learning diving skills to become familiar with their mermaid duties. But just because they have come this far doesn't mean they'll automatically get to bend their fins. Only those with a thorough grasp of diving can perform in front of the public on March the 8th. Liu Jia, a student from Tsinghua University, said that she has never dived before.
I'm pretty excited because this is my first time playing this. And very cold. It'll be a pretty good experience for myself to do such events like this. And I hope I can do it again.
Led by a professional diver, the mermaids are going through a rigorous training. In this 7-meter deep diving pool, this woman must learn not only to deal with swimming in water that is 18 degrees centigrade in temperature, but also mentally prepare herself for the dive. The Beijing Aquarium, located on the northeast side of the Beijing Zoo, has built itself as the world's largest inland aquarium. The mermaid event will take place right around International Women's Day. Organizers hope the event will promote diving and attract visitors to the zoo.
From fish to fashion, every well-dressed girl knows that you go to Max Meyer to get a top-notch winter coat, and they'll be glad to know next year is no exception. And Gucci has shown an elegant and sophisticated autumn line on the Milan Fashion Week, with coats to die for and floor-length dresses. Tony Jia takes us to the catwalk.
Max Mara created a whole range of winter wear at the Milan Fashion Week on Saturday, from a luscious cowl-necked coat in shimmering ivory to double-breasted leather jacket inlaid with dark tweed. The show followed this year's trend for British style, this time cutting everything from chiffon tops to knitted poncho dresses in black and white tartan, all worn over monochrome thigh boots. For the lady who launches and wants to break free, there was a long sleeveless leather coat with layered lapels which could have been used as a Star Wars costume. And over at Gucci, it was evening wear. The Gucci girl was given a touch of elegance as models created column dresses of silk and satin held to the body with straps of twisted material in bright red or subtle brown and black. Tony Jia, CCTV.
Finally, it's party time. Brazil's world-famous pre-Lenten bash has hit a fever pitch, with hundreds of thousands of carnival lovers taking to the streets in what is considered one of the world's largest street parties.
Thousands of Brazilians dancing samba and wearing colorful costumes paraded through Rio de Janeiro Samba Drumo on Saturday, with thousands more from around the world taking part in the pre-Lenten bash. Saturday night samba parades included a competition between schools. The San Clemente Samba School was followed by Via Isabel. Both are competing in the same group to advance next year to a higher group. The Brazilian government ordered over 1,000 troops to help in safeguarding carnival for the first time this year.
The decision was made after drug wars terrorized Rio in the run-up to the pre-Lenten annual celebration, torching dozens of municipal buses, detonating homemade bombs, and spraying police posts with machine gun fire. The violence, which has left at least 11 dead since February 24th, threatened to cast a shadow on what is billed as one of the world's biggest street parties, prompting some weekly visitors to cancel their plans at the last minute. But one day into the Bacchanalia, it seemed business as usual for the hundreds of thousands of carnival lovers dancing and drinking in the city streets. Nearly 400,000 people are expected to attend the party, including 40,000 from abroad. Tunisia CCTV.
Well, now it's time for us to have our weekly reminder of the World News.
One day ahead of the UN-imposed deadline to start destroying its Al-Samud 2 missiles, and 3 days after Saddam Hussein told an American television journalist that he had no banned weapons and would prefer death to exile, Baghdad announced it would comply with the UN order. Iraq's decision to destroy missiles and talk about chemical and biological weapons deepened the divide in the UN Security Council between U.S.-led proponents of military action and those who want to give inspections more time.
We don't think that...
After weeks of wrangling over the high stakes of war, the Turkish parliament has rejected a motion to allow thousands of U.S. troops into the country ahead of a possible war with Iraq. The decision marked a setback to U.S. efforts to launch a two-front attack with the aim of shortening any possible war. The United States, Britain, and Spain tabled a draft UN resolution stating that Iraq had failed to comply with the UN. France issued a memorandum calling for more time to be given to inspections, both by the UN Security Council support. On the eve of the ROK's new presidential inauguration, Pyongyang test-fired a missile into the sea off its east coast and later was said to have reactivated a nuclear reactor.
And that's it for this edition of Worldwide Watch. I'm Lucia in Beijing. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to this edition of Around China. I'm Zhu Jin.